You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Hannah Baba. The San Francisco International Film Festival is in full swing, featuring films inspired by the spirit and values of the Bay Area. One documentary showing this week is called Unsettled, Seeking Refuge in America. It introduces us to four young LGBTQ refugees who've come to San Francisco from the Congo, Angola, and Syria. The Syrian man in that film, Subhi Nahas, was taken in by a couple in Oakland when he first arrived. KELW's Eli Wertschafter first brought us his story in 2016. Here's Eli.
Subhi Nahas remembers the exact day when he knew he'd have to leave Syria. It was the spring of 2012. He was 24, on a bus going to university to take a final exam, the last exam he needed to graduate. He says they came up to a checkpoint and a group of soldiers stopped the bus. They checked the IDs of all the young men, and then they singled out Subhi.
They take you to a room and put you in a chair where you're all alone.
These were Syrian government soldiers. They were cracking down on rebels who opposed the president, Bashar al-Assad.
The chairs and the table and the ground, they're full of blood.
Subhi had nothing to do with the civil war, but these soldiers decided to pick on him anyway. They'd noticed that he looked different, kind of effeminate. They started mocking him.
They were picking up on me especially because of, you know, look at the way he walks, look at his, you know, dress, look at his hair.
He said for 30 minutes they harassed him and called him homophobic names. He was scared for his life.
And that moment I was like feeling that, yeah, that's the end of it.
It wasn't. They let him go without hurting him. But after that, Subhi was too afraid to go back to school.
When I came back home, I was saying to myself, so what's the point of staying in Syria while you cannot complete your studies? And without this, like, you cannot do anything.
The soldiers who messed with Subhi were from the Assad regime. But a few months later, rebels who opposed Assad took root in Subi's city. They belong to al-Nusra Front, which is the Syrian branch of al-Qaeda. For Subhi, they were even worse than the regime. They announced that they would, quote, cleanse the city of sodomites.
So I cannot go to university, I cannot go out, so I have to stay home all the time. But then, staying at home was not safe too.
Like a lot of LGBT people who become refugees, Subhi felt threatened by his own family. His parents never accepted the idea of a gay son. Subhi lived at home with them, but his father didn't speak to him.
We sometimes we don't even say good morning to each other, so even when we speak, he never expressed his emotions or feelings and how he does feel about it, except when he's really angry and he wants to express how angry he is.
One day they were in the kitchen. They had a fight and his father lost his temper.
He grabbed my head from the back and he just smashed it into the kitchen counter.
Subhi still has a scar on his chin.
If you're not safe outside and you're not safe inside, and your family will not protect you from your father because your father has anger management issues, so you better run. Nobody's going to save you.
He immediately made plans to cross the border into Lebanon, where he had a friend he could stay with. This journey was legal, but he had heard horrible stories about gay people who were raped as they tried to get across. So he bribed a taxi driver to deal with all the checkpoints. Subhi sat in the back of the cab and pretended he couldn't talk. He stayed in Lebanon for 6 months. And then he moved to Turkey, where it was a little easier to be gay.
It was a different, completely different experience, especially exploring myself, exploring my sexuality, trying to understand my body more.
But still, he knew he couldn't stay there. Turkey doesn't let any Syrian refugees become citizens. And so he had two options. He could travel to a country like Germany and hope they gave him asylum, or he could apply to the UN, which can resettle refugees to another country. In Turkey, he met a lawyer from a group called ORAM, the Organization for Refuge and Migration. They're based in San Francisco, and they advocate for LGBT refugees around the world. They explained to Subhi how the UN program works.
Oram helped me to understand these interviews and helped me to understand the procedures and what they do and how long it takes.
The UN only resettles people who are part of a persecuted group. One of those groups is LGBT people. But there are 4.5 million Syrian refugees, and less than 1% of them make it through the UN's process.
I never knew that my case would be, like, really accepted.
The process took almost a year. Subi did interview after interview, screening after screening, until one day he found out that he was cleared. Subi flew to California on June 4th, 2015. He even knew who he was going to live with. An older gay couple in Oakland had agreed to be his sponsors, to host him in their home.
Yeah. Oh, that is good. Yeah. Very good idea.
Subi is back in the house of his sponsor, Fred Hertz. He lived here for his first 2 months. Subi's slicing off the crown of a dark red pomegranate.
Oh, that's really good. You don't cut it all the way through.
No, because it's easy. See? Right.
When he lived here, he and Fred got really into cooking together. The pomegranate is going on a roasted eggplant dish, which Subi calls mlatash.
Say it again. Mlatash. Mlatash. M-L.
Fred got involved with LGBT refugee rights 5 years ago.
Here I am, this successful gay lawyer who is, you know, living a very liberated life with a long-term partner. And when someone comes forward and says, there are these gay people who are in trouble in other countries, you know, how can I say no?
But taking a refugee into his own home, that was another level.
I would say my biggest worries were things like, oh my God, what if he gets here and has a nervous breakdown and, like, locks himself in the room and doesn't come out for 6 months? What am I going to do?
But they got along like family. Subi felt the same way.
They even became vegetarian for a whole month. It was like, I'm vegetarian, so it's like they did not bring meat to the house. That was something I really, really appreciate.
Subi showed me his old room in Fred's house.
And yeah, I used to store stuff in that box. Lots of stuff, especially paperwork, because, you know, in the States, they send everything, like, lots of paper.
His visa, medical exam paperwork, bank documents, his vaccination card. He spent most of his first month here getting all his papers in order.
It's time-consuming, and I think without Fred and his partner, I would have not done it in 1 month, and that I would still, until now, stuck doing all the paperwork.
This was actually part of Fred's commitment as a sponsor. He had a list of all the appointments Subi needed to get to. And when Fred wasn't available, he got his friends to help too. Especially for LGBT refugees, creating that kind of community is essential.
Let's say if you're not an LGBT, you'll be expected to be resettled with your own community. But if you're an LGBT, most of the time you're escaping from your own community, or you're escaping from your family, or you have nobody. So you need somebody to be with you, and you need somebody to help you in the first steps.
Subi has had an amazingly smooth transition into the United States. Some help came from the government. When they first arrive, refugees get a small stipend and they can apply for food stamps and health care. And like almost everybody in the refugee program, Subi's on track to eventually get a green card and U.S. citizenship. But what sets his case apart is the bond he made with Fred and the local gay community. Now, Subi is working at Oram, the same organization he reached out to when he was in Turkey. Subi knows how rare his case is, so he's working to help other refugees make it to the other side. Subi shows me a poster that he designed with Oram. It says the words, "You are safe here," in a dozen languages, in rainbow colors. They're sending it to refugee offices around the world.
You step into the office and you look to the wall and you see this and you see the rainbow, then you will know that you're safe here, even if you're an LGBT.
Subi has lots of friends who are visiting offices like these in Turkey and Lebanon, waiting for resettlement. But recently, one of Subi's friends also made it through. His name is Nader Turkmani. Subi called him up on Skype after he heard the news. Nader is also gay and Syrian. He petitioned the UN for years. Now he'll be able to move from Turkey to Norway.
Hi.
Subi and Nader started an LGBT support group in Istanbul. Since Subi moved, he's been helping Nader manage the group long distance. Now, they're making plans for when Nader will leave too.
minimum lazemi konfi laptop, lazemi konfi projector, lazemi konfi...
Hopefully our group will be there for a long time.
Groups like the one Subi started, or people like Fred and his partner, they give LGBT refugees something they're usually missing, a family that looks out for them.
It's a good feeling when you really know that somebody cares and loves you this much. It's life-changing.
In San Francisco for Cross Currents, I'm Eli Werchafter.
Thanks, Eli. Since we first aired that story, Subhi founded a nonprofit called Spectra. It supports LGBTQ people in North Africa and the Middle East. He no longer works for Oram.